Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip are carrying out an unprecedented infiltration into southern Israel, sending fighters across the border and firing thousands of rockets into the country.
Shocking videos being shared on social media appear to show Palestinian militants shooting at passers-by in the streets of southern Israel. There are reports of houses in Sderot having been taken over by gunmen from the Islamist group Hamas, which governs Gaza. The Israeli army had told local residents to stay in their homes following reports of an infiltration.
That is correspondent Yolanda Nell. The Israeli military put the country on war alert and began striking targets in Gaza. Iowa Democrats are proposing a workaround to keep their first-in-the-nation presidential voting status.
Late last year, President Biden announced that South Carolina would be the first voting state in the Democrats' 2024 primary season, leaping ahead of Iowa and New Hampshire. But Iowans want to keep their leadoff spot, so the state's Democratic Party has announced it will hold a caucus on January 15th, but it will be a meeting only. Presidential voting for the Democrats will instead be held by mail throughout January and February, and the results won't be released until early March. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Democratic presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he has a major announcement.
Democratic presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he has a major announcement coming up. Last month, RFK Jr. released a video saying that he'll travel to Philadelphia October 9th to make a speech at the birthplace of our nation. The news is fueling speculation. He may decide to run for president as an independent.
As correspondent Tayshia Stevens reporting.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Amazon has launched first test satellites for its planned internet service.
And
Launch Alliance Atlas rockets blasted off on Friday from Cape Canaveral with a total of two test satellites now in orbit. More from townhall.com.
Dr. Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor for years now to help me deal with pain in my body. My wife takes it as well. The reason we tell everyone we know about it is simple. We found it really works to help our bodies fight off the inflammation that causes aches and pains. Whether it's the pain of injuries you've sustained or just the natural pains from the mileage over the years, Relief Factor can help. I've never looked back. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
Looking for something to add to your Costco cart along with the 30 rolls of paper towels?
How about a bar of gold? While not a typical outlet for the sale of precious metals, the members-only warehouse chain has seen its 1-ounce gold bars sell out faster than discounted 170-ounce jugs of laundry detergent. CFO Richard Galanti says the 1-ounce gold bars, sold exclusively online, are typically gone within hours of appearing on Costco's website.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. A dose of patience may come in handy at the pharmacy counter this fall. Drug and staffing shortages have not gone away. Stores are starting their busiest time of year as customers look for assistance with everything from the flu to common colds. And this fall, pharmacists are also dealing with a new vaccine and the start of insurance coverage for COVID-19 shots. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The U.S. government is poised to order a recall of millions of airbag inflators.
The action comes in response to a potential manufacturing flaw that could send metal shrapnel rocketing through a car interior. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration held a public hearing this week on airbags made by ARC Automotive of Tennessee. At least 25 million vehicles containing ARC-made airbags could be affected. ARC, though, refused to issue a full-scale recall, maintaining no safety defect exists. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Attorneys who have been representing MyPillow chief executive Mike Lindell are seeking court permission to step down. Lindell is defending against a $1 billion lawsuit filed by Smartmatic over questions about vote tabulations from the 2020 presidential election. Lindell is also a defendant in a similar $1.3 billion lawsuit by Dominion Voting Systems. You'll find more on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 48. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 36. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 47. Overcast. Temperatures well below average Monday and Tuesday with highs in the mid-40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. Another look at the short range. A high of 48 today. Lows level off around 36 tonight. We should top off around 47 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 34.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Lots to get to this week, including a huge bass tournament that takes place in Minnesota. It's been going on now for 25 years, and they just raised over $1 million for St. Jude. Joe Hall is going to join us to talk about it later in the show. We'll find out what's going on in the Rainy River with Joe Henry. And we're going to talk about what kind of weather conditions we got going on for waterfowl hunters in Minnesota, why we like the way the season is structured. We'll explain that in just a little bit. We'll talk about what we're seeing on trail cameras for deer movement and more. That's Dan Amundson right there. Dan, what's up?
Hey.
David Eckhart is joining us from his combine. No. Before getting into his combine, he's got farming to do, so he's on location right now. And this is who our sponsors are this week in the show.
Live Target. Match the hatch with Live Target Lures at livetargetlures.com. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for this fall or winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybell Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake. Learn more at haybellheights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter this fall at ottertaillakescountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. Filming continues for the new season, but you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
So we're in the split currently. This past week has been a closed season for our zone. We're in the central. We're kind of right on the border with the southern zone, too. So the central and southern zones have been closed for the waterfowl season. For this past week, we reopened this weekend. Northern zone obviously was open. I've been in favor of the splits for a long time, and this past week shows you exactly why. How many days were in the 90 degree? I guess Sunday the season was still open, but it was, 90 degrees Sunday, Monday. It's pretty hot on Tuesday. Even fairly warm. I know the weather started to change later in the week a little bit, but I didn't really see any waterfowl movement. We would have sweated our backsides off in waders or wherever. Obviously, not a lot of crops out yet for field hunting. So to me, I don't know if you guys want to weigh in this or not, but I'm okay with the splits. For people that don't like the splits in the southern part of the state, this is why the splits are here, so we can hunt a little bit later into the season. I don't know, David, what did you see for bird movements this week? Anything?
I didn't really see anything moving as far as, you know, the first part of the week, but now that it's getting colder, we'll definitely have some new birds pushed in for this coming weekend when it opens back up.
Which is perfect. I mean, I did see a flock of geese one morning this week, which obviously were new birds. We hadn't really had any geese where I'm at around here. So to see a flock like that come through, obviously, that's new. So birds are going to start migrating anyway with time of day, length of day, things like that. They just start to do it anyway. But with this weather change, we should start to see some birds around. So I'm excited about that. Split was good this year for us. This cold front is about perfect timing. Of course, we'll be filming this weekend, so we won't be hunting. Anyway, we wouldn't have had time to hunt this week anyway, Dan.
No, we have yet to hunt Minnesota yet. Yeah. Well, teal season. We hunted teal season. So regular season is still not started for the Amundsons.
Yeah, that's all right. It's too early anyway. I like it later. as it is, especially as the crops come out. That's going to be better for pheasant hunting, which is going to be opening up soon. How is the crop harvest going? I know we had some rain that slowed things down a little bit, but it looked like midweek things started to ramp back up.
Yeah, we got more rain on Tuesday now, so that's slowed us down. But Sunday, Monday, and into Tuesday before the rain, there was a lot of crops that got taken out. So it's moving right along. Started doing a little bit of corn Tuesday, and saw a bunch of pheasants in there, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, I think we had a pretty good year for the hatch again for pheasants this year, so I think it's going to be a pretty decent fall for that. I saw some moisture levels for some of the beans that were getting taken out. It's been pretty dry this year, hasn't it?
Yeah, they're super dry. The beans are super dry. The stems are still really green, which makes them tough to combine, especially when the seeds are so dry. But yeah, they're ready.
Well, I've definitely seen an increase in deer movement since some of the crops around my place have been starting to come out. Are you seeing some more buck activity? What are you seeing right now out there and on your trail cams?
It was with the full moon. There was a lot of nighttime activity. Not a ton of daylight movement, but I have seen more movement. And now, the last couple of days, it's kind of trailed off. I don't know why, but if they're just not coming to my food plots or what they're doing. But I would expect with this cold front that they're going to be hitting those food plots pretty heavy now.
Yeah, wasn't everybody saying that Wednesday last week was supposed to be a good day, according to all their predictions?
Friday will be the good day this week.
Friday, okay. We'll be filming a bass tournament on Friday. That's right.
I will probably be farming. Wishing I was in a deer stand.
Well, I finally just went, and I kind of went out and upgraded all my stuff. I got some new arrows, some new broadheads, new lighted nocks, and got my bow tag. That was an upgrade since I didn't have my tag yet this year. Went out, checked all my stands and put some new straps on and put up some new cameras. I have Spy Point. They sent me some more cameras. I have so many trail cameras up. It's kind of crazy. For a while, I had to stop the message. It was really windy the other day, David. And I know you got yours set so you don't get bombarded with messages. I finally had to set mine because I had like 8 different cameras sending me pictures of weeds and tree branches blowing in the wind. So it was kind of wild there. But I did notice one day last week, Tuesday, I think it was, I had deer all day on one of my cameras. Actually, just, you know, they're all does, but activity throughout the entire day, middle of the day, morning, late morning, afternoon. So some animals are still kind of moving around quite a bit during the day, or they started moving around quite a bit during the day, I guess. But
yeah, I think I've got a camera that had the same thing on that same day. There was a doe and 2 fawns that just sat in that food plot all day.
Do we have a camera in the same place, David? Did you put a camera?
Maybe.
We're doubling up on cameras. Well, so, I'm excited. You know, normally I don't really start to bow hunt heavy until later in, you know, in October towards the end of the month. So I'm sure once we get done, we got a pretty heavy filming schedule for Prairie Sportsman over the next couple of weeks, but we'll have to sneak into the stand a little bit and hopefully get something knocked down. I know it's not the time of year to talk about turkey hunting, but something just happened in Aiken that I wanted to mention. I saw this on the outdoor feed. If you want to kind of stay up to date on some outdoor events and topics and things that are happening around the country, theoutdoorfeed.org is a great place for that. It's all powered by members of AGLOW, the organization that we're a part of. So we've got outdoor writers and content creators, podcasters, and things like that constantly posting things at the outdoor feed. And the National Wild Turkey Federation Aiken Gobblers chapter kicked off its first Jake's Day with over 70 kids attending for a day of learning all the joys of the outdoors. So Jake stands for Juniors Acquiring Knowledge, Ethics, and Sportsmanship. And they had a number of learning stations where kids spoke with experts, engaged with the activities at each station, including hunter and shooting safety led by Minnesota DNR CO. They were shooting 22s. They were doing some fishing. They had BB guns out there, some trapping info, turkey calling, and more. Quaker Boy Calls actually provided all the kids with a turkey call package.
So that's very cool. So congratulations to the Aiken Gobblers chapter with their first Jake Steak. And learn more about that at theoutdoorfeed.org. And while you're online, make sure you check out our YouTube channels. We've got four of them that you need to go see. This one right here, Sporting Journal Radio. We've got the Tazen Lake Lodge one, Tazen TV. We've got the Prairie Sportsman channel that you can watch all the Prairie Sportsman episodes on YouTube. And then our latest is the Fish Hunt Forever channel. And we've got a new video on there that we posted, a new film called 1956. It's about an epic waterfowl hunt that took place in 1956. And we brought one of the hunters back. So how many years later that was? He was 16. So, you know, 1956, Dan, do the math. 22 plus 43. So 60-some years, 68 years later. Wow. Something like that, 60-some years later. Brought him back up to experience Saskatchewan once again and had a pretty epic trip up there. Here's Dan talking about the experience. You can watch that right now on the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel. And, of course, you can see our Kodiak film there. You can see some of our video footage from our trip to Saskatchewan, which David, the three of us, were up there. Dan's got a brand new video that's going to be going up on that channel. Maybe it's up there by now.
Sure.
Maybe. Otherwise, it'll be up here probably this weekend.
Go check to find out. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's not. It might be.
Viewers. Fish Hunt Forever. So, David, this was an edge hide last year that we did. And we had a hunt like that this year with you up there, only it was in a pea field. And that's the video that's going up or is up on the Fish Hunt Forever channel now. That pea field hunt was pretty wild, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was so fun. And the birds didn't care, didn't see the blind or just didn't care. And yeah, they did it. We had the right amount of wind, I think.
Yeah.
And they just didn't hesitate.
Pea fields are flat. They're hard to hide in, but the ducks and geese absolutely love them. So we had a setup for a side shot. And the best part was that I think those birds got hunted the day before or 2 days before that or something like that. Like those birds got shot up pretty hard in that field yeah. right before us. And we still went in there and smashed right after that.
Yeah, they didn't care.
That was cool. Except with the ducks. We missed the ducks that came in.
Yeah.
But you'll have that. So check all that out. Check out the YouTube channel, Fish Hunt Forever. All right, we're going to talk Rainy River with Joe Henry, see what the Fall Shiner Run is like when we come back. And then we got a really cool story about a huge bass tournament on the Mississippi River down in the southeastern part of the state with Joe Hall. He'll tell us all about it coming up later on Sporting Journal Radio.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
The Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
going to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism to find out how fishing up on the Big Lake and the Rainy River is going right now. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, gentlemen, doing good. How are you?
Not bad at all. It's fall. It's that time of year where the walleye bite's really picking up. Fishing is getting good, but so many people are walking around with shotguns. I know I saw somebody post the other day on Facebook or something. They just wanted to thank all the hunters out there because now they have all their fishing spots to themselves. So it can be a really good time to plan a trip to Lake of the Woods, can it?
Oh, it's such a good time up there. You know, fall is a special season everywhere. And, you know, Lake of the Woods, I mean, I'll give an example, and this is an anomaly. I don't want people to think that this is the norm, but I just saw a little video one of our resorts posted up the northwest angle where, you know, they asked the guide how many fish he caught today. He goes, between 200 and 250 walleyes. Wow. Now, that's an incredible day, right? I mean, just, are you serious? And that'll happen. Those fish will get bunched up in the fall. With that being said, I also want to share that, and you know, I've also talked to some other folks. I had a couple of relatives up there, a brother and sister, and they were pulling spinners, and they caught their fish, but they caught their fish. You know, they didn't get 100 fish. They didn't get 50 fish. They probably caught 20 fish or something. So, which you know, for it's like one guide said one time, yeah, you know, fishing's a little slow up here right now. This is another year ice fishing. Yeah, fishing's a little slow up here right now, but it's still better than anywhere else you'll go. Well, I don't know if it's that true, but it's kind of a funny statement, I thought. And it's still Lake of the Woods. You know, when you're balking at 20 fish, walleyes, not so bad.
Yeah. I've had good days where I've caught five.
One.
Or one. And been pretty happy about it.
It depends on where you're at. You know, and that's
it's all perspective.
I think people's expectations of Lake of the Woods are pretty darn high. And that's why, right?
Well, this time of year, people are wondering how the Shiner Run on the Rainy River is doing, and I'm sure people are catching fish in the river as well as the lake right now.
Yeah, they are. I put out a fishing report, you know. I usually put a fishing report every Monday, and, you know, my report is, hey, there are shiners and walleyes in the river. The run has started. Now, with that being said, it's not wild and crazy. You know, it's not like they're running so thick and there's so many walleyes, but I can tell you that between you know, guides posting things about, you know, they can see the birds diving after the shiners. They can see shiners on their electronics. In one case, somebody's using a live scope, and they can see a huge school of shiners, and there's walleyes underneath, but it's hard to get those walleyes to go. And but then again, there's people catching fish, you know, so yeah, there's things happening. Even though we've had summer-like weather, the days are still getting shorter. You know, Mother Nature has a way of pushing things along, even if temperatures are unseasonable, and that's kind of where we're at right now. We haven't had that cold weather yet, which we consider fall in October, but it's coming.
Now you can always pull spinners up there. You can pull crankbaits, but the most fun way to catch walleyes, in my opinion, although live scopes and jigging wraps are probably taking over my favorite way to catch walleyes, but just jigging in general, jigging a emerald shiner or something like that is one of the most fun ways to catch walleyes up there, and that's kind of the typical bite this time of year, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. Yep. And, you know, right now with the unseasonably warm weather, we are still catching walleyes, pulling cranks and pulling spinners. But, you know, that jig bite in the fall, I mean, that's what people look forward to. And, you know, it's interesting, you guys. When you go out on the lake, you know, a lot of times what you do is you'll go out amongst a big school of walleyes. Typically, you anchor up, and then you're going to be using a jig with oftentimes a frozen emerald shiner right over the side of the boat. And, you know, yeah, you hook that shiner in such a way that you have pictured a stinger hook, and you know you can use a stinger hook that it's an extra piece of, you know, 2-3 inches of a monofilament with a little treble hook. The treble hook will be in the tail of that shiner. So, in essence, if a walleye bites that minnow at all, they're going to get a hook in their mouth. The other way to do it is to just hook a shiner on a jig, and you can take that hook of the jig and put it through the mouth of that emerald shiner out that gill, and then push that minnow all the way up to the jig head as far as you can, and then you can hook the hook of the jig about midway through the back of that shiner, which catches you more fish. On Lake of the Woods, it's not gin clear water, so you can get away with hooking a shiner kind of weird like that. You know, it's that stained water. If we were in a gin clear water situation, I think that those walleyes would be a little bit more temperamental on how we hook the minnow and what kind of action, and if it was a certain way or not, you know.
Joe, I've got one tip that I learned last time I was up there jigging shiners, and this was a thing I actually learned using barbless hooks up in Canada. But have you ever heard of bait buttons?
I have, yes, I have some.
So I kept having my shiner slide off, and granted, I wasn't probably hooking it the best, but it kept sliding off, or a fish would pull it down, and it wouldn't have the same firmness, or it would start to thaw out a little bit. So I slid one of those bait buttons on, and I was probably able to get two or three fish instead of just one per shiner, and wouldn't have them slide down when I was jigging them a little harder. It could rip jig them a little harder too. So,
well, you rip jig, and then of course if you're casting, certainly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, and really for people listening, you know, what a bait button is it, and the way what people used before they used a bait button, Danny, is they'd take one of their plastic worms that they were, and just break a little bit of piece of plastic worm off. You'd hook your minnow on a jig, and then you take that little piece of plastic worm and just put that over the hook so that minnow can't fall off the other side. It's kind of stuck on there, you know, and that's a good way to keep it on there. And I don't do that, you know, when I'm jigging like that, just because I'm not rip jigging so much. But yeah, if you're casting or rip jigging like you said, I think that's a great idea. So we talked about the lake. One thing I'll say about the river is that when you're jigging the river, you know, it's one of those things where you use a jig the size of the current you're fishing. So there's times where when the water's really ripping, which it isn't now, but when the water's really ripping, you know, we might be using a 1 ounce jig. Now, normally you might be using a 1/4 ounce jig, you know, in that current. The other thing I'll say is sometimes you can add a few little tweaks to your jig to catch some more fish. There's jigs that have little spinners coming off the back. There's some jigs that have rattles in them. There's some jigs like a Whistler jig that has a propeller on it. You know, especially in that stained water, adding a little bit extra noise like that can be a darn good deal. You know, we also use fathead minnows, we use chubs, we use different kind of minnows, but boy, I tell you, those emerald shiners, typically you get them frozen this time of year. When they start running, you can get them live minnows, even better. You put an emerald shiner on that jig and it's still a little bit alive and it's twitching a little bit. Watch out.
Well, I'll tell you, and I know plastics have been working up there as well too, and the more we jig, it seems like the less we use live bait. So it's nice when you can get on a plastic jig bite, and especially a scented plastic. It'll help you out in that water up there. But
one thing I'll say about that is, and I agree with you 110%, Brett, but one thing I'll say is that, you know, our guides who fish Ontario waters, you know, there's been a lot more plastics being used. When the bite is good, both plastics and live bait work great. When the bite is tough, there's been boats right next to each other, and the boat with live bait who bought the bait in Canada, there's some places that sell it there just over the border from the northwest angle, but when the bite is real tough, the boat that was using live bait was significantly out fishing the bait that was using just plastic. That's not a tough bite.
Sure. Well, I'm excited. It sounds like we're going to try to get up there this fall for a trip, maybe do a little bit of hunting and fishing. And if people want to get their own cast and blast trip, or maybe start thinking about an ice fishing trip to Lake of the Woods, Joe, what should they do?
You know what? Best way is our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, from Joe Henry to Joe Hall, we'll talk about a big old bass tournament when we come back.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to OtterTailLakesCountry.com.
Live
Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 48. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 36. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 47. Overcast. Temperatures well below average Monday and Tuesday with highs in the mid-40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. Another look at the short range. A high of 48 today. Lows level off around 36 tonight. We should top off around 47 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 34.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, there's a big tournament taking place this weekend on the Mississippi River down by Wabasha, and it's really a good tournament. It's really a good cause. It's something that's been going on for 25 years now. They raised a record amount of money, over $1 million. We're going to find out all about this tournament, who they raised the money for, and why it's such an important tournament right now with committee chair Joe Hall, who joins us on the show. Joe, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
So this is the Dick Hiley Bass Classic that takes place. It's been going on for 25 years. Normally it's in June. Is that right?
We do it the first weekend of May, generally. May.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but the water was a little high in May this year down there.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of have a tough situation where we don't have a lot of ramps that can really handle, 80 boats in this area. If the water does get high, but it's a safety issue, and we don't want to be running around causing damage when people are trying to save their bank from erosion and, pull out their docks. So we've kind of drawn a hard line in the sand as a committee of, if that river level gets above about 12 foot, it causes us just really too many operational problems.
Oh, it was a mess down there this spring. I don't blame you. I'm sure it was a nightmare rescheduling that and doing it in October. You're always taking a few chances when you schedule a tournament in October, but obviously the biggest thing about this tournament, it's not necessarily the bags. Obviously there's a $25,000 prize, I think. So the bags are important, but the most important thing is that you guys raised over $1 million for St. Jude this year.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're going to be ending up with 76 teams total. I've had a couple drop due to the reschedule, which I understand, but yeah, I mean, there's really no words that can put in, I can really explain how amazing this is that 80 teams or, sub 80 teams raised $1 million in 1 year for this event. It's something that, we're a lot of blue collar people. We're not professional athletes. We don't have money just coming out of every pocket, but we work hard and we fundraise from people that, are our neighbors, our friends, our family. And the great thing about this group is if they have $20, they're going to give you $20. If that week all they have is 10, they're going to give you 10 because it's such an amazing cause. So we don't have these huge donors coming in, but we're talking about thousands and thousands of people that have helped us get to this $1 million, but it's the teams, the 76 teams, that just have worked so hard putting on events, doing different fundraisers as far as events, raffles, a lot of creative different ways that guys raise money.
That's how you get in the tournament as well, right? You have to raise a certain amount?
That's correct. Several years ago, we implemented a $500 minimum to be in the tournament. Of course, there's the entry fee that's $350, but you had to raise at least $500 to get in the tournament. And then we had an accelerator where if you raised $1,500, your winnings, if you won any money and were getting a check at the end of the 2 days, would go up by 50% or something they're close to. And now for the 25th year, if you raise $5,000, you are eligible for the first place prize goes from then $5,000 to $25,000. So I think if I'm speaking correctly, when I looked last week, we had 50 to 55 teams that raised over that $5,000 mark.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, it's great to see anglers who care so much about the cause for something like this. That's really neat.
It is. And, you know, I think, you know, fishing is one of those things that, you know, especially when COVID hit, it was the one thing that we could do as families, one thing we can do, you know, with our friends. And everybody, you think about, okay, it might not be my child that ever has to utilize St. Jude, but it could be my friends, it could be my brothers. And how lucky are we that we've made it to this point in our lives and we haven't had any issues. But I think what drives us is that the experiences that we've had, we want to be able to try to give back and give these kids an opportunity to, you know, get their driver's license, go to prom, those fun things that you do first for the first time in your life. And after visiting the hospital in Memphis several years ago, I know that was a huge motivator to just see these kids that were very positive, little warriors, and, you know, we're just doing the best we can to try to help them.
You know, there's only one issue I see here. According to Katie Hickman, this has been around for 25 years and you've only fished 24. What the heck? Right.
Well, I'm a man. I'm 40. I just turned 40. So back in the day, there's a set of rules where you had to be 16 to fish it.
Okay.
So I wasn't old enough to fish it the first year. And my partner and I, we fished it together every single year. And it's been amazing that, you know, we started fishing it. We were just kids ourselves. And now his two kids are both graduated high school. But that core group of guys that started it and had the idea for this, I really don't know that they thought it would ever get to this point. I certainly didn't. And really, starting to fish it as a child, didn't really understand how important this could be, but I can tell you today that this has by far been the most important, most amazing thing that I've been a part of in my life.
It's wild. Like, I heard about it from a number of people this year saying, hey, you guys, this is a huge tournament. It's such a good cause. You have to be down here, film it for Prairie Sportsman, get them on the podcast. We didn't hesitate. We were all about it. I mean, we were ready to go in May to come down, and then obviously it got rescheduled. So we're happy to be a part of it here in October. Looking at some of the pictures, like what Dan showed there, and then there's a video that we were able to watch from the event. There's some recognizable names and faces that are part of this tournament. Talk about who are some of the people that our listeners and viewers might recognize that are part of this.
Well, you know, Fat Cat Newton is our MC, and he's become, you know, he was kind of a goofy guy that did a lot of, YouTube videos. But when we asked him to be a part of this, we didn't have any idea. He actually had leukemia as a child. Mm. And he started to open up after about his first year to us. And honestly, it's gone both ways that, you know, we don't just see him as an internet personality. We care about him. And he cuts open a vein and talks about how that, you know, when he got cancer, his whole family got cancer. You know, it affected his mom and dad, their financial situation and their marriage way more than it affected anything in his life. That's Fat Cat right there, who's now, he's lost over 250 pounds, I think it is. Matt Hall, right here, tournament director, the Zumbro Valley Bassmaster group comes over and actually kind of runs the operations. So it's a super smoothly ran tournament. You know, I fish tournaments all over the country, and they could take this blueprint and really take it anywhere with the way they've got it set up. But we've had, you know, anglers, you know, obviously local kind of celebrities like Dean Capra, Scott Bonema. We've had, of course, Ted Capra used to fish it back in the day before we lost Teddy. We've had George Cochran, you know, Bassmaster Classic winner. Jacob Wheeler came up a few years ago and fished it. But you're going to have a group of absolute hammers from both the Twin Cities, River Region, down here southeast, Iowa, Wisconsin, and I believe that the reason that this has been so successful, as we as tournament anglers are so just, we're so competitive with each other, it could be a coloring contest. And somebody said, well, start raising money for your boat position to leave the first and second morning. And it just absolutely took off. And when we hit 100,000, it was kind of like, all right, we got that milestone. And then it kept going and kept going. And last year when we hit 735, Fat Cat set it on stage, which we all were kind of thinking it in the back of our mind, one day we'd want to get to $1 million. But he said it out loud that next year, that's our goal. And some of us kind of cringed, but we knew that with hard work, it was possible. And we got there.
That's amazing. Joe Hall is our guest right now, talking about the Dick Hiley Bass Classic coming up this weekend in Wabasha on the Mississippi River. We got to take a quick break, but more with Joe. We want to talk about how this tournament started, like where the inspiration for this came from. We'll talk more about that when we come back here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We got Pete with us from Wheelway in Fifield, Wisconsin. And for those of you who may have taken a little trip out Highway E or down one of the pothole roads here in Wisconsin, that car, Pete, might be clanking a little bit, right?
Boy, I'll tell you what, you know, it's sometimes, depending what pothole you hit, your car will make some weird noises.
Yeah, it's like an early Halloween, right? It's scary. Absolutely. Nothing scarier than hearing that weird noise. If your car is making a weird noise, you guys will come bring it in there, check it out, and see what's going on, right?
Absolutely. You know, we got a lot of great discounts going on right now. Make sure you look, check your Northwood shopper out. We're the home of the $39.95 oil change, as well as some main discounts for tires, brakes, stuff that these roads are beating up your cars. And you know what? Fall and winter's kind of creeping up on us.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure your car is reliable and roadworthy, and we can make sure it happens.
And they can give you a call to set up that service appointment there. How can they reach you there, Pete?
Hey, give us a call. 762-2467. Number again is 762-2467. And we can get you scheduled and get you in the shop and get your car fixed today.
Just a couple miles south of Park Falls, right on Highway 13, Fifield, Wisconsin. Wheelway, schedule your next service work right there.
See Dependable, made in the USA appliances at Akron Appliance and TV, downtown Medford. Appliances by KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, and Amana in stock. Whether it's just one piece or an entire kitchen suite or new laundry, they have something for every budget. Remodeling or building soon? Now is the perfect time to lay away a new appliance package, and they can hold it until your project is ready. Interest-free financing is always available on your new appliance package, and always service after the sale at Akron Appliance and TV, downtown Medford.
stock up and save on the toughest filters in the business during Wix Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. Not only will you get the best deal of the season on our very best filters, but you'll also find deep discounts on oil, fluids, grease, batteries, and more. Upgrade your filters during Wix Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. See store for official sale dates. Auto Value. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 48. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 36. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 47. Overcast. Temperatures well below average Monday and Tuesday with highs in the mid-40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. Another look at the short range. A high of 48 today. Lows level off around 36 tonight. We should top off around 47 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 34.
Are you retired or retiring soon? Do you know how much money you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. These may feel like scary times. Several economists are saying that a recession is imminent. So what do you do? Ancient wisdom says plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have an actionable plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan is executed to take advantage of market gains, but protect you from market losses. We would like to give you a free, no-obligation consultation to help you do all three. We will help you discover your magic number and give you the roadmap to get there. Call now to schedule your free consultation. 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108. 800-508-6108. Don't wait. Call 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
Fall is upon us, and that means time to party in the cool weather with the 28th Annual Fall Harvest Festival on October 6th and 7th in downtown Phillips. Kick it all off right with the Fall Festival Dance Party at 7:30 p.m. on Friday the 6th at the Phillips VFW. Enjoy the luxuries of the Northwoods from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday with fresh craisins, cranberries, bake sales, and business specials. Make memories with kids pumpkin decorating, face painting, balloon animals, bingo, and more. Music and daytime activities run from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. throughout downtown Phillips and then wrap up with a street dance from 6 to 10 p.m. Come for the craisins and stay for the company at the Phillips Fall Harvest Festival starting 9 a.m. on Saturday, October 7th in downtown Phillips.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com. Downloading the podcast, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, like, and share it. We got a really cool story this week. We're talking about the Dick Hiley Bass Classic that's taking place this weekend on the Mississippi River down in Wabasha. And Committee Chair Joe Hall joins us right now once again on the show. Joe, Mississippi River, I mean, we being Minnesota walleye anglers, we think of, you know, the different pools to go walleye fishing, and that, you know, you can fish year round, we can fish out of a boat in February, you know, that's kind of where our brains are most of the time when we think of the river. But it's a pretty good bass fishery too, isn't it?
It's excellent. I've traveled all over the country, been to a lot of different places, but I think that the dynamics here are very interesting. You can fish for smallmouth, you can fish for largemouth, you can just about fish them any way you want to. And I just know growing up on this river, we've seen some probably ebbs and flows the last 10 years. But from what it was when, you know, I grew up with a 14-foot John boat on the bank back in the, you know, mid-90s, it's just incredible. It's a very resilient fishery, I'll put it that way. And of course, you guys know that from the walleye side as well. From, you know, we obviously see some reproduction and, you know, failing numbers and failing reproduction classes with the walleyes in certain areas.
Yeah, talk about what the river's like there, because river fishing, it doesn't always come to mind when you think of bass fishing, but it's I mean, you're fishing the river down there for bass, but there's a lot of like backwater and some different habitat that you can fish, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, that's going to probably be the biggest difference between when we usually have this event in May and where it is right now. You know, right now we're at basically as low as they'll let the pool get for the, obviously the barges' navigational channels. In the spring, we're usually 3 to 5 feet higher than this, which opens up a ton more backwater space. Now, that's got another element to it where obviously we have duck hunters out there, or we will this weekend. And so, you know, we want to stay out of their way and, or at least try to work together, that we're not, you know, getting in each other's way. But, you know, I would say a lot more of the main channel, current oriented, is going to be the big deal right now. And Lake Pepin can certainly come into play, and we can fish all the way down to Lock 5, which is down just north of Bass Camp. So we've got two pretty good sized pools that we can fish.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to probably jump in a boat and do some filming this weekend down there. So do you mind if we bring our shotguns and a bag of decoys? Is that going to be
here? I always keep one in the rod locker.
Yeah. Perfect.
But I'll tell you, if you're going to go duck hunting, it's better to have a bass boat than one of those, you know, green flat bottoms. They don't tend to fly away from a shiny bass boat, but a grass blind that's on top of a green boat, yeah, they will.
They see it coming. They know.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Well, you brought up kind of the mid-90s on the river down there, and that's, you know, I suppose mid to late 90s probably is when this tournament started. How did it get started? Who started it? What was the reason behind getting this tournament going?
Well, there was a group of guys that got together. I don't know all the players that were there, but like I said, Scott Bonema, I know, was part of that. Dick Hiley, who, you know, his name is on the tournament now. And, you know, the first year, I think we raised $11,000. And a lot of that was, you know, from the entry fees. There was a portion of it that just went right to St. Jude. And then if you won money, they would, you know, if you didn't, you didn't have to, but when you went up to collect your money, they'd give it to you in cash, and you could give cash back to the tournament director, and it would go right to St. Jude's. Dick Hiley was the first person that started kind of fundraising on the side and just saying, hey, I can ask people for donations, and they're happy to donate to St. Jude's because everybody knows what a fantastic cause it is, and everybody knows that it's, you know, one of the good charities that, you know, very high percentage of your dollar that's donated actually goes to the hospital. And then it just kind of really took hold, and then we implemented, you know, the starting boat order, where how much money you raise guarantees you your boat start for the first day. And then the second day, if you're in the top, or if you were in the top 10 of fundraising, your position is locked there as well. So, for example, I think our first place team this year raised $166,000.
Oh, wow.
So they knew they were going to go out boat one both days. So it could be a big deal, but what really has gotten this number to get so large is there were guys that, you know, they knew they had no ability to raise $100,000 or $20,000, but they took it upon themselves to take their fundraising from a $500 minimum, and some of them have surpassed the $5,000 and $10,000 marks. And it's still, the way that the fundraising has increased, it still hasn't really changed their boat number. But it just shows the selflessness, and that it's become more of a competition of how much money can we raise. We're competitive as individuals, but we're also extremely competitive as a group. We wanted to hit that $1 million mark, and I can't believe that everybody worked their tails off enough to make it happen.
Have you announced who raised how much? Do you want to say who the first place boat was?
Jamie Gibson, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his partner's name. And he's been our number one fundraiser for a couple of years now, maybe 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And again, it was somebody that he took it as a personal challenge that he wasn't going to be boat three anymore. He wasn't going to be boat four. And he didn't care so much about the starting position. He just wanted everybody to know that he could raise more money than them. And that's a wonderful thing when we're talking about all these proceeds go to St. Jude. So, you know, we've had some amazing teams that have joined that didn't fish it because they didn't think they could raise the money. And within a year or two, they're raising upwards of $10,000. And it's so inspirational to see that. And that, you know, my story, our group hasn't raised, you know, that much money that quickly. So it really took us a long time to get there and figure it out.
Talk about what people that aren't a part of the tournament right now can do. Can they donate? Can they come watch? Can they come watch the weigh-ins? Can they watch the weigh-ins online somewhere? And then what about people that want to fish it? Is it capped at 80? And is there ever any openings for other anglers?
So first of all, we do kind of have a goal that we'd like to have a waiting list for this tournament. We'd like to, and there really should be, that, you know, we'd like to have that demand. But we cap it at 100, and we haven't hit 100 yet. I believe the website is stjude.org/Dick Hiley, and that would take you to kind of the St. Jude page. But we also do have a public Facebook page where we will be posting results. We'll be live streaming the weigh-ins. And if I could ask for anything, it would just be to share that Facebook page, just because there's so many things going on with this event, and there's so many people that don't know about it. And I really think that everybody should know about this. I mean, every year I'm at the weigh-in, and somebody walks up and asks what's going on, and I'll explain it to them and how much money we raised. And they're like, this is a really big deal.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, this is a really big deal. So I'm hoping that this year, now that we've hit $1 million, and it shouldn't have taken this much, but now that we have that, you know, maybe we will start to get some national recognition. And who knows, maybe somebody can copy our blueprint and they can do this somewhere else. Maybe a walleye tournament could do it. I think there's a lot of ways that this could be utilized, and it doesn't, you know, have to be here in the Midwest. It could be anywhere in the country. And I think that it's a great way for people to give back, but it also, I believe, shows the public, you know, as tournament anglers, we don't always have, you know, I'd say the best lights shine on us. You know, we always, it's, oh, they're taking up our parking spots at the ramps, or we're casting at people's docks. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe this is a way to try to show that we're not just all self-serving. We want to do some good.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great thing. I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more notoriety in this state as well. Hopefully we can help that out just a little bit. But man, what a great cause, an amazing amount of money raised, an incredible fishery down there, some big bass anglers like you.